You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City. Used to be downtown LA, now it's Studio City. And I did not realize that I am actually in the Valley. I didn't know Studio City was the Valley. I just discovered that last week. But we are on every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And our show, if you don't know by now, is about informative entertainment. And that means it's our goal to provide you, the audience, with resource information, tips, tricks of the trade, everything but cooking tips about the entertainment business. And we hope to inspire you and encourage you and motivate you. And we do that by interviewing people that are constantly making their dream a reality in show business. And we encourage everyone to call in and ask questions of our guests between 5:15 and 5:30. And the number for that, if you're not in front of your screen right now, it's 323-203-0815. And we take your calls directly. We don't have anyone to screen. We can't afford it. So you call in and we will take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process to be on the air with our guest. Now, if you liked our show, it's very important, and I beg you to do this. If you liked our show and found that it helped you in some way, or you love the guest, or they gave you some tip that you didn't know or some information, we would love to hear it. We'd love to hear about it on the forum. And if you look on the top of your screen, it's one of the links named forum, and you click on it. It takes 1 minute to register. All you have to do is put your email address and a password, and that's it. And write everything that you loved about the guest, and the information that helped you. And you can also write show suggestions, or if you want more variety performers or more musicians or whoever you want to come on, that's a great opportunity. And I also asked my guests to call to write in and tell what a great time they had on the show. Hey, every single message is important. And if you want to know who the guests are that'll be coming up in the future, you can go directly to our website, which is questionreality.us. Not .com, questionreality.us. And it has all of our past guests, and you can listen to the shows as well, and then also see the future guests and read their bios. And that's it. So that's my intro. Now, we have a really great guy today. He's fun. He's perky. I don't know if a man wants to be described as perky, but I think he's perky. He's perky. He's nice. He's really sincerely nice. I mean, you can tell he's not fake, superficial, shallow nice. He's very, very nice. I can tell. And he is, now let's talk about him. His name is Doug, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right. Doug Conant?
Conant.
Conant. Oh, yes. Okay. I can never get the last name is right. Okay. So Doug is a, let's have everybody go to his website right now. His website is, of course, the three W's. You know what bugs me saying www, but some people actually don't know it's www because some websites go http://, and mm-hmm. then start. So he's a three W man. So www.group-6, the spelled out SIX.com, group-6.com. That was very unusual to put the hyphen in there because most people either remember it or they can't remember it at all.
Right.
So
the other was taken.
Yeah, I figured. So Doug is a writer-director, and he is the founder of Group 6 Films. Now, we're going to find out. I always like to know the story behind what people name things. So I'm going to find out, why did he name it Group 6 Films? But it is top secret. Oh, we'll get it out of you today. Don't make me lean on you. It's physically and mentally painful. It's a motion picture production company based in Los Angeles, and they are dedicated to producing engaging cinema cinema that entertains and invigorates. And I, if you watch the trailer for some of his movies, you definitely know those are words to describe exactly what his production company is about, because they were really, really good. Now, in March of this year, our lovely writer-director, Doug Conant, was featured on the Fox Searchlight homepage, which is such an honor. I mean, you got to be really good to get your film on the Fox Searchlight homepage. And, you know, if you don't know what Fox Searchlight homepage is, it's really good for you young filmmakers and you haven't heard of it, because they basically showcase trailers from new filmmakers. And their website, in case you want to check their website out, but come back to Doug's, of course. Their website is foxsearchlight.com. And now, more recently, Doug's company, Group 6 Films, was very proud to have had Sleeping, which is one of his short films, or their short films, be part of a world premiere that was hosted by the New Filmmakers Los Angeles Festival, and that happened on August 28th, so it's fairly recent. And let's see, his film was only one out of four, I believe, four out of hundreds that was selected, and that film was Sleeping, and I believe that film is still on their website if you want to check it out. And do you know that website address off the top of your head?
I believe it's newfilmmakers.com or .org.
Okay, check that out, because, you know, I believe that you can, can you still see it? Is the trailer still on there?
I'm not sure if it's up there anymore.
Okay, all
right. But,
well, it's on
they've
your
had
website.
Another one since then, actually.
Oh, so they have. Oh,
they do them periodically, but check them out. It's a good organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, currently, Doug is hard at work on the script. I hope this is still valid information.
Yes.
Hard at work on the script for their first feature-length drama. Woo! It's called The Center of the Sun, formerly titled The Twilight.
Yes.
We want to find out why. I like The Twilight better because I'm allergic to the sun, but you know, that's a weirdo thing. Some weirdo thing. Now, this film will expand on the theme of spiritual and emotional recovery from rape and assault as explored in Broken. And I imagine Broken is another one of your films? Or
yes,
what is it?
That was my thesis film in college.
Oh, okay. And Group Films is teaming with industry veteran Frank, here we go, another name I'm going to mess up, Metaire.
That's it.
Is that right?
Frank Metaire.
Yeah.
The man and the myth.
And Leif Garrett. Oh, my God.
He's not associated with Leif Garrett.
No.
Not associated at all.
And Leif Productions, L-I-E-F Productions, for this project. And The Center of the Sun is supported by RAINN, R-A-I-N-N, which is Rape, Abuse, and Incest, the national network. And that's the largest anti-sexual assault organization in the United States. And also Peace Over Violence, which is the largest rape crisis center in Los Angeles, just in case. And I hope I got everything in about you. Did I get it all? Doug, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
My goodness. You know, I want to know who... You know, I sent out, when I decided to do this show, I sent out an email asking people if they knew, if they had possible candidates for the show. And I don't remember who referred to. Do you remember who?
It was the great Lisa Capazzi.
Lisa! Oh, my
yes.
God!
Yes.
I love me some Lisa Capazzi!
Who doesn't?
She, and I worked on... We were in an opera together, Der Rosenkavalier, over
nice.
At the LA Opera. And I swear, as soon as I laid eyes on her and she laid eyes on me, we had these big smiles. And she was like my buddy in this opera, because there were so many people. It was so overwhelming. There were like 200 people. And she was always helping me and showing me around. And she was really great because she does things over there. So are you friends with Lisa and Ken, her lovely husband?
Yes,
Ken?
Yes.
How did you meet him?
Actually, Lisa and I met through just working odd jobs. I don't remember where.
Disney, probably.
Yes, it was through Disney. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, because she often works for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
She's an actress, and she works for Disney, which is what
exactly.
a lot of people, I'm hearing a lot of people, who they're really great in that they hire a lot of actors and people in the entertainment business with full knowledge that they're they're temping, and that's going to be it until they hit the big time. Mm-hmm. So, oh, well, that's great. I'm glad that I know now where Doug came from. But, oh, yeah, we're very good friends. I love Lisa Capazzi. As a matter of fact, she and Ken were supposed to be on the show, but they moved so far away now.
Oh, yes.
They moved to Ventura, so that's a little hike.
Yes,
but they should be gearing up to be Mr. and Mrs. Claus at Disneyland. They do it
every
year. I heard
about this. Oh, I'll be there.
Oh, my God.
I'll be checking that out.
I love that. I mean, they're just perfect for Mr. and Mrs. Claus, aren't
mm-hmm.
they? The cutest couple ever. Albert and I think they are so adorable. We wanna like have what are that when you have a not clones, but you put them in a mask and you get masks like those cement masks. Not cement. Oh God, that'll kill them, wouldn't it? You know how
they make the
mask? What is that material? Chalk-like material that you make a mask
like plaster
from?
Plaster of Paris or something.
There you go. We want to plaster them.
Nice.
Oh, well, it's so great that you actually are on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you have obviously done a lot, and we got a lot to talk about. But I guess what I want to start out with is how and when did you know that you wanted to pursue a career in entertainment?
It was definitely Star Wars.
Star Wars. Oh, yeah. Albert, too. You
Join
two have so much in common.
You know.
Star Trek and then Star Wars, though. So are you more of a Star Wars or a Star Trek?
You're more Star Wars.
Okay.
Star Wars. But I like the Star Trek movies. I never got into the show for whatever reason.
So what happened when you saw Star Wars?
I don't know, something.
How old were you, first
clicked.
Of all?
I must have been six. I actually saw it on video.
Right.
I was too young to see it in the theater.
Well, yeah.
It was on VHS on a little TV, but it was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. So,
what impressed you about it?
I guess a lot of people talk about, you know, the myth aspect of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I think that really connected with me, and the characters and all the special effects was just gorgeous. At the time, certainly. So it just made me want to do stuff like that.
I had not seen Star Wars until I met him because I was never a sci-fi person. Well, you know, when I was my mother is like, oh, you don't need to watch television, read a book. You know, you don't television, blah, 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 rots the brain. Your eyes are going to get bad, which I'm wearing glasses, so that might be true. But So she was an advocate of reading books and going out playing rather than watching TV. But I swear to God, everybody still says that I would cry until she'd prop me up in front of the television. I said to this day, as an owner of two TiVos and two VCRs, I've never gotten over my love of television. But there was a time, you know, when I was, I guess that came out and I was too little to see that. And I saw it with him. And I guess the thing I was most impressed by was the scene where they had to cut that big animal open and then get inside warmth.
Empire.
It grossed me out, but at the same time, I was thinking, well, that was an excellent survival tool.
And Han Smart.
Yeah.
Smart guy, that Han Solo.
It smelled good. Bad on the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And you need to talk in the mic if you're going to, so, you know, contribute, please. Albert, he always talks, but he's in the background.
I've got him excited now.
So
I'm
he, like, ruins my whole show because we can't really hear him. So will you turn up and contribute? Yeah. But it was the Planet Hoth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Planet Hoth. Well, I met this guy, a filmmaker. He was going to the film school. What's the one? Center of Design or?
Oh, Art Center?
Yes, Art Center. And his name was Randy Walker. And I went over his house because he had cast me in one of his films. And I went to get ice out of the freezer.
Uh-oh.
And I open it and there's... I said, what the hell is that? He had his whole freezer converted to the Planet Hoth.
Wow.
Yeah, he had little Star Trek characters in there. And he had the whole scene set up.
God.
And it was frozen because he had one of those old refrigerators like from the 50s, the ones that freeze over.
Wow.
So there were like big chunks, you know, big chunks all around it. And I just stared at it. I thought, oh my God, he's probably a serial killer. I'm getting out of here right now. Who does this? This is not a sign of normalcy.
No, that guy is awesome. That's what he is.
And then he had, he was a cool guy. And then he had this big, the full length size of the what's the dark character?
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. Yes, he had the actual thing, and I thought, well, no, he's just, you know, a sci-fi geek, you know, a sci-fi lover. So, but so you saw that, and what did it? What happened to you that made you? Did you want to go out and make your own little sci-fi film?
Oh, definitely.
Or what did you?
And
want
I,
to do?
I did that with Legos.
You did? Oh my God! Yes. He's a Lego lover too.
Oh my God.
I know. We're like,
Albert and I like lost brothers.
Yeah, you're like, I know you like the same things. But oh my God, he was a Lego fanatic. But so
yes,
did you,
here.
Albert? Did you build starships with Legos?
Yeah, I did actually.
What did you? Yes. What did you build?
Starships. I'd build like whole planet bases, and oh God, it was ridiculous and embarrassing. But but then I'd you know, get my dad's old video camera and then, like, give the Lego men voices and
right.
all kinds of other silliness.
And see, that was the difference. That's where we had the split because you did not do that, Albert.
No.
Correct?
No, I didn't do that.
You just played with it. But you were thinking about the behind-the-scenes
right.
aspect
right.
of it. So mm-hmm. that's where we had the artistic split.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. So
I was trying to figure out how to actually
that,
do it.
So you were thinking about the makings of the film. And now, mm-hmm. at that time, were you knowledgeable enough to know that George Lucas was a part of it? Did you think about things like the names of the actors, who did it, and all of that?
Right. Oh, definitely. And actually, at the time, my dad's a cameraman for the news.
Okay.
Or he was. And I'd say, oh, how do you get it to look like that? And he'd say, oh, the cameraman. Uh-huh. So then I was looking up the cinematographers for all these movies. And then and eventually I realized, oh, it's the director, you know.
Right.
So at first I was thinking, you know, telling the story and then filming it. Therefore, you need a writer and a cinematographer. And I didn't realize the director is actually in the middle. I think I figured that out maybe 5 years later. Whatever. But I learned about a lot of writers and cinematographers that way.
So when you were making your little films, so when you did the Star Wars thing, did you get tired of that and say, oh, I want to do something else? And was it sci-fi related, or did you want to do another type of film altogether?
It was pretty much all sci-fi, but I'd branch out into different. You know, like if I saw a movie and then, like for instance, Willow. Mm. I was a big Willow fan.
I don't remember Willow. What was that
Willow
about?
It was great. It was Ron Howard directed that. It was with Val Kilmer. It was like a fantasy film.
Oh,
it was loosely based
sort
on Lord
like
of the Rings.
Sort of like the never-ending story kind of.
Kind of, in
okay.
that, in that
I never
mode.
Saw Willow. Ooh,
yes.
I've got to get that from Netflix.
Oh,
Albert, put it on the
great.
List. We
I think it's underrated.
Seen Willow.
Yeah. As a kid, I thought it was absolutely
okay.
amazing.
Okay.
But then my brother and I would like reenact scenes from that, like medieval sword fight or whatever. And so I think because I was now looking out for this stuff, mm-hmm. I became interested in a lot of different things, and like now I just do straight up drama stuff.
Yeah, that's why because
for
you,
now anyway.
When you started, you were doing sci-fi, and I would think I'm obviously wrong, but I would think that whatever you first. Whatever piques your interest, you usually would keep that as your main interest and want to do that when you grow up. At least that's the stories I hear.
Right.
But now you're doing films that aren't even related to sci-fi. So I want to know, how did that transition happen? I mean, you went, okay, so let's start. We got so much to cover. So you're doing the sci-fi stuff. You're actually looking behind the scenes, checking things out. So take us from there to here. How did it go?
Ooh, so much happened in there. I was saying, where I was getting interested in so many different things, and as I was growing up and going to school, I was becoming more, more thoughtful or mm-hmm. philosophical or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just thinking about life and things
right.
other than science fiction and Star Wars.
Right.
So I think from there, I'm always interested in learning, so I just started learning more things. I'm like, oh, that maybe I can make a movie out of that or write a story about it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time I got into film school, I was very much thinking of very personal stories because that was something I hadn't covered yet. I've been covering, you know, these special effects type things, you know, mm-hmm. things that weren't really, didn't have much character depth to them. It was just like, ooh, this looks awesome.
Right.
But by the time I graduated or high school, I was really getting into, you know, characters, real characters, you know, psychology, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have the equipment in high school to be able to put your films together, and so you did the research, or did somebody tell you this is the best software for this? This is.
Oh no!
Did you do it all on your own? How did you find out all of these things? Like, as if you're a child and you think that you want to be a filmmaker, how do you find out? What do you recommend as a child? And you know you want to make film. Where do you go? Who do you talk to? What do you do?
Right. It was really direction from my dad again. I guess he knew from people he worked with that, you know, writing is key. And so I started just getting books on writing, and he'd take me to the bookstore, and I'd find that stuff. And in the process of finding books on writing, I'd find books on directing, cinematography, and all that. So I'd just start asking for those for Christmas, and then I'd get those, and I'd just study them and try to apply them, or at least think about it. So
it was
very self-taught, but I was also in a video production class in high school where they had just video cameras and some crude editing stuff, tape to tape or whatever. So I was using that in high school.
So you were taking it. Actually, you were initiating the process. You were reading. You were taking interest. It wasn't like you were saying you weren't dabbling. You knew that that's what you wanted to do.
Definitely.
You knew it, and that's so important. How? But at what point did you? Is it that you always knew, or you always knew?
I pretty much always knew.
Always knew.
Yeah.
See,
I never followed anything else. It was just. It was just that.
Knew.
I had other interests, but. You know, friends of my parents and everything, they'd say, oh, that's a really tough industry to get into.
Right.
So then I start thinking, well, what am I going to do if I can't make it? And it's like, maybe I'll be a paramedic.
Okay.
So if I didn't do anything in film, I'd be a paramedic
or a chopper pilot
or something.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I never seriously thought about that. I'm like, well, you know, forget that. I'm just going to be a filmmaker. So
you never doubted yourself, and you never even thought about having a backup plan.
Right. I figured having doubts would slow me down, and studying other things would slow me down again. If it's hard enough, why am I going to spend time on these other things?
Right. Now, that's an interesting way to look at it, but I guess it all depends on the individual, the personality, because some people say, well, you know, I just want to be prepared. I want to have a backup plan. I want to have plan A and plan B. And I am an advocate of that I'm torn because I also think that if you put 100% into something, how can you not fail? Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, I see it all the time that people try, because even though you do so much to follow your craft and your art and all of that, what if you just either one don't have networking and marketing ability and, you know, be able to get in the click? Because when it comes down to it, and you may or may not agree, you can have the talent and the interest, but it takes a lot more than that. You got to have the business skills, and you also have to have networking ability and marketing, and you got to promote yourself. And you actually, I hate to say it, but you got to be part of the clique. If you want the big work and the big jobs, you got to get in the clique.
Definitely.
And Hollywood, the entertainment business, is a huge clique. What do you tell people who are filmmakers or want to be filmmakers who don't have that flashy personality, or the person out that are kind of shy and more about the work and the art, but don't want to go party and, you know, go to bars and nightclubs and hang out with a lot of them that do that?
Right.
What do you recommend to them?
I happen to be one of those people. So you might be asking
Which one, the partier or the non-partier?
The non-partier, for sure.
Yeah, so you know, that's perfect, because so many people think that they have to run with the wild pack in order to get in with the moguls of Hollywood, because there's a lot of parties that you have to go to, a lot of networking. What do you recommend for people that are pursuing a career and they think they have to do that?
Right, I think now is actually a perfect time for people that are like me, who are, I guess, averse to playing the game, as it were.
Right.
Because you have the Hollywood camp, and there's also the indie camp now. And I think to get in Hollywood, you really do need to play that, I guess, the whole social thing, you know, going out there, you know, meeting people, going to parties and all that. But if you want to go independent, I wouldn't say it's easier, but it's different, where it's much more geared towards the work that you're doing. So if you can get your little crew together to shoot your film, you can get it out there and you can get noticed that way. And if you want to get picked up by a distributor, they just see the film. You know, they don't know you as a director. So you're not really selling yourself. You're selling your film or your project or whatever. That's sort of the route that I'm trying to take.
Okay.
But in terms of getting to Hollywood, you know, it is. It's totally about meeting the right people, and that's actually something that I've done since high school, where you go out and meet people. I guess I could talk about that now.
Yeah.
About because I run into a lot of people, a lot of friends from school and friends I meet in my work who don't really want to go out there and meet people,
right.
Make those connections, or they're just afraid to, or they're embarrassed to sometimes, you
right.
know. Like, who am I to, you know, contact, you know, Steven Spielberg or whatever. But really when I was in college especially, you know, just writing letters to these people, and you just know that they're just ordinary people. And I was working at Warner Brothers for a few years and got to work directly with some pretty high-profile people, I mm-hmm. think. And they're just normal, average. Well, they're very talented. I say average, but they appear average. You know, you talk to them, there's someone you could sit down in a bar with or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very talented, but yet they're very down-to-earth. They're just
now,
guys,
that's an excellent girls, point, you know. I want to bring up. Now, what film school did you go to?
Brooks Institute.
Brooks Institute in Santa Barbara?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a one way to go. If you can afford film school, it's really good to go that route, of course, because they often have within the program a segment where you get to meet people who are making
yes.
it happen. And this is what obviously happened to you, and you got to meet some of the movers and shakers, right?
Right, right.
So you got to see, yeah, they're average. Well, they're not average people, but they're people who are, they're people just like us. We're all a people. We're a people.
You see them on the street, you're not going to know if there's some, you know, A-list director or whatever.
Exactly. You know, you can communicate with them. You can talk with them. So that's a big benefit of going to film school.
Certainly. And even without film school, just writing letters to these people, find their information on the internet or on these
right.
guild membership right. directories. Just write to
them. A great tool for that is to sign up for IMDb. IMDb.com, they have... it's IMDb Pro, and I think it's $10 or $14 a month,
mm-hmm.
and you can type in any actor, producer, director, anyone who's in show business, if they're listed on IMDb, which most of them are, and you can get their publicist's name, their director, the publicist, their, the PR company, their agent,
mm-hmm.
everybody who's affiliated with them, you can get their information, and then send them a letter. The hardest thing is getting it to them, because these,
yes.
you know, I did a film with David Schwimmer. He was the executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, you cannot get by his assistant.
I'd imagine not.
Oh, my God. And I work with him. And I've been trying to get the footage from The Humanoid, which is the film we worked on. I've been trying to get that from him forever. But there are people that do block that, you know, that path. And
Definitely.
Even though they'll say to you, the assistants, when you do try or send a letter... it is a long shot, though, really, that you're actually going to get in touch
mm-hmm.
with them. Really,
certainly with actors.
You know, with actors, yeah. Because they're going to say, the assistants are going to say, how do you know them? What's this about? And then the end result will be, send me an email. And then they say they're going to forward it on, but usually they don't. They're the ones that determine whether or not that email is going to get forwarded.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and their mood at the time that they
and their mood at the time. And most of them are, you know, I don't know, they're kind of bitchy. Didn't want
to
say
it. You heard it here first, folks.
Didn't want to hear. But, you know, and you can, and it doesn't matter if you're the nicest to them and you send them all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can spend half your paycheck and that's not going to determine whether or not you're going to get
sometimes
through.
It makes it worse.
Yeah, sometimes it makes it worse because they think you're a suck up, a brown noser.
Yeah.
You know, you're traveling the Hershey Highway and they're like, no, I'm not, I have the power. They're on a total power trip.
Absolutely.
I swear to God, I went through that. But it's a risk. You got to try it because
Absolutely.
It's part of the path that you need to take to get there. There was a book or something. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there was a woman who actually made a career, and I swear I cannot remember it right now. She would know where all the Hollywood people were. Do you remember that a couple years ago?
That does sound very familiar.
She knew where everyone was from the where they were taking meetings, where they were having lunch, when they went bowling. Jesus. And she would go, and just to get autographs, though. It wasn't like she wanted to be a star or anything. She just wanted autographs. And I was thinking, why doesn't this woman write a book on how she does it, or do a how-to book? Because that would make so much money, right?
I should find this book.
You know, yeah, I don't think she ever wrote it, but maybe she did. But I remember it was on like Access Hollywood or something. And that would be great, but it's very hard to know the average person pursuing a career. It's very hard to know. Certainly. You know, how to find these people. Mm-hmm. So how would you recommend that a person who, or you're, how long have you been out of film school?
I graduated in 05.
Okay, yeah. So you've been on the circuit now. What did you do after you graduated in 05?
Right afterward, I started working at Warner Brothers.
Oh, okay.
I was just a production assistant over there.
Okay. And how do you feel that did that benefit you at all? Did you get
definitely.
Any? How did it benefit
definitely.
You? Which people is another route. You can get jobs at various temp services and request that you work at the studios. Now, you got to be careful about that because they're not going to, if you tell them that you want to work there, they're not going to put you there.
Right.
So you just have to find out what temp agencies temp for, schedule people for the studios, and then you go in as an innocent.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. You're vested, as it were.
Yes. Now, when you go into these agencies, what they ask you, they do grill you, because I used to be an executive recruiter. They do grill, but not here on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. But out here, they grill you because they don't want to send people over who are aspiring actors, because
right.
they know they're going to be doing the pitch,
exactly.
or writers.
Exactly.
So what do you tell them when you go and sign up for the agencies? What did you say?
Actually, when I started temping, that was only just this year.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I started working at Disney. At Warner Brothers, I was there full-time. I was hired straight up over there.
How did you get that job at Warner Brothers?
That was a very odd experience where I found the number to the HR recruiter over there, and it was for Warner Brothers Television. I just happened to get this number. I found it just searching online for
it.
And I faxed in my resume one afternoon, and then within 10 minutes, I got a call.
Wow!
Yeah, and apparently a coordinator on one of their shows had just called the recruiter and said, "Hey, we need a PA to start on Monday."
Isn't that
and
amazing?
My resume was coming in through the fax machine. She just grabbed it and called me. That was.
I think you got
lucky.
A little lucky star over
yes.
your head. So, what did you learn working at Warner Brothers? Anything you can share with us? Or?
I guess going back to our previous topic of approaching people,
yes.
you know, never be afraid to approach people. And a good thing, if you can get a job at a studio, again, you're sort of vested. Like, you're not like some fan walking up to somebody. But
right.
I would just see, you know, famous people all the time, and just famous great people like Clint Eastwood would be walking around there, and just go up and just talk to him briefly. And he's really down to earth, and you never know till you try.
That's
but,
right.
That wasn't necessarily for connections. That was just because.
No, I'm an advocate.
Awesome.
Oh my God, Albert! No matter where we go, if I see a star, I'll go right up to him.
Yeah.
I just don't care what they're doing. I will, and I don't mean any harm. But if I like them, I will. If I don't like them, I'm not going to go up to them.
Right.
But if there's someone that I really like, I will go up to them and I will tell them and what I like. Because how often do you get to tell the stars what exactly you liked about their projects? And I think they really appreciate it.
Definitely,
there
I think
was
so too.
One. That did not appreciate. Of course, it wasn't me that did it, but most of them, for the most part, they're very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. They realize that their bread and butter is coming from you.
You went up to Richard Dean Anderson. Remember that
I
one?
Did.
Time?
Oh yeah.
When we were watching Star Wars.
I went up to him.
Wow.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I went up to him. No problem.
Is that MacGyver?
Yeah, MacGyver.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he's
excellent.
A MacGyver
right.
fan.
He was up for Han Solo.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I told him.
Right.
I said, "You totally should have gotten that part." Yeah, nothing against Harrison Ford, but
oh, no.
I love Richard Dean Anderson, and I think
oh,
he
yes.
could have done a really good job with it. It would have been a whole new world
yes.
if we would have had that. But so I absolutely go up to people, you know, continue on with that.
Oh,
with
sure.
that thought. Because when you were at Warner, you made connections, or what did you do?
Yeah, it was I just tried to extend my. It mostly came from me just trying to learn more, just talking to some of the directors over there. Like there's some shows that are being shot there, and I'll just look them up, and I'll see if I could find like a director's contact information away from the studio, because I never wanted to do that.
Yeah,
I think that was
right.
That wouldn't have been
that
good anyway.
Been a little tacky.
Yeah, but if I can find them like in the DGA directory. I'd say, oh, they're on the DGA directory. I'll send them an email or something, or send them a letter. Let them know, you know, I'm working on the lot, and can I like meet you for lunch for half an hour or something.
Excellent.
Like that.
Excellent.
And I did that a few times and learned tons about directing in general, about the business.
Did they actually accept it?
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
Lord! Now, can you say who they were? Or
I'd rather not.
Oh damn!
Rather
all
not.
Right.
Sorry.
All right, sorry. That's all right. We'll talk after, because we want to know who these nice people are. Oh no, because then everybody's going to be.
Everyone will find them. Exactly.
Maybe we better not do that.
Exactly.
But so, what did you find? So it did work by you doing
yes.
this.
Yes, I Excellent. Sent out a lot of them, but a good number of that I sent out for, they all reply, and they're all familiar with Warner Brothers. You know, they're used to traveling there, so it wasn't like a stretch for them.
Great.
And we'd like meet in the commissary or something. Or,
oh, that is so nice. So that was yes. a huge. You gained a lot of information.
Definitely.
What
definitely.
Else did you? What else did you learn from your experiences of having to work? I guess to finance your, not habit, but your.
What? What?
Your
what are we talking about here? What is this interview just turned
your
into?
Habit. Your habit of wanting to be a filmmaker. Your career. So you had to obviously finance your career. Now, do you
yes.
feel that you did that more for, did you have to work? I know some people don't have to work.
I definitely
work.
Had to work.
Okay, so
definitely.
What other jobs did you feel that you worked at that was beneficial to your career?
No, really, it was
that led up to.
I was
you.
At Warner Brothers for a while, and that was the one place after school. I worked there until the strike, and then
mm-hmm.
they laid off just
right.
about everybody. And then I started temping at Disney,
and that was beneficial.
It was. I was doing a lot of corporate stuff at Disney, though. It was excellent to learn about the corporate side, just to observe it, because
right.
It's definitely different from production. It's night and day.
Now, tell the audience how important it is to learn the business aspect of being a filmmaker.
Oh, yes. Especially if you are an independent filmmaker and you're doing everything yourself. You can never learn enough about the business side. And if you're a creative director or writer, you have to seek out the business information. And because you really are relying on people who also haven't made it like you. You know, they're trying to work their way up, but... you need to know enough so you can trust the people that you're hiring to handle your business side if you find someone to do that.
Right. You need to know an inside out. I mean,
exactly.
You got to know what you're doing in order to know that they're doing what you
yes.
should be doing.
Yes.
Right? So
that's a problem a lot with especially with some friends that I have
that are independent filmmakers. Mm-hmm. So learn the business side. What else would you recommend if someone's wants to pursue the indie route? What else should they learn? Know about, do. A lot about now. What about
so much? I'm
well,
just trying to.
All right, let's talk about one aspect of it, which is probably the most important. Initially, is how to get financing for the independent
yes.
film. I mean,
yes.
let's talk about that. If you're an independent filmmaker, say you don't have rich parents, how do you get mm. financing? What do you recommend?
There's really it's an infinite
to make
number
it,
of avenues,
and then also afterwards, how do you find a distributor?
Oh right, yeah, for financing. Especially when you're independent, it suddenly becomes, it seems easier because you can go to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what kind of film you're doing, what your budget's like, you can just, this is in a book, I can't remember the name of the book or the author, but maybe I will in a minute. But this one guy who's a really big film teacher in LA, who has his own independent school, he was saying, you know, just go in the phone book, look up dentists, you know, and just send like this mass mailing. Just say, "Hey, I'm doing this film. Tell them about it, and maybe they'd be willing to invest."
That's
you know?
A great idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
And all these dentists who are listening right now are suddenly
yeah.
very angry with
ah.
me.
Ah, well, you know, think about. I would imagine whatever your film is about, you could always get people who are involved either directly or remotely.
Oh, certainly.
For example,
yes.
your film on no, what was the one? Was it
Center of the Sun?
Yeah, Center of the Sun. Now that yes. if centers around rape and assault, I imagine,
mm-hmm.
and you could get many people who are associated in some way with helping, whether volunteering. There are many people who have money that are advocates of that, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about Center of the Sun and how you got financing for that and distribution and all that.
Actually, we're still working on the financing
for that one. What are you going to do?
we're actually going to do what we're talking about right now.
That's it. What is
we'll
that?
We'll be basically looking, like you're saying, if you have a certain topic, send out as many ads or anything. You'll go on Craigslist just putting up ads about what we're doing and hopefully find people who A, have money, and B, are just very interested in that cause.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say in something like that? Hey, you got any money for me?
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Is there like a boilerplate letter that you have or something, that a template that you kind of fill name? I mean, what do you say in something like that? What would someone say?
Well, I guess just to the main thing with and this is actually what we did with sleeping to find financing for that one was just try to first mention what the film's about,
right?
And just trying to you know, pique someone's interest, just saying this is the film we're doing, you know, and if you're someone who would want to be involved in a film like this, you know, please contact us for more information.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually found some crew members that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, was that for actors as well as crew and investors? You just do a generic.
Yeah, it kind of happened that way. Our intention was to, you know, find investors, but we ended up finding just other people who just said, "Wow, your topic sounds really interesting," and they saw my website, they saw the trailer for my previous film.
Right.
They said, "Hey, you know, I'd be interested in doing your production design or whatever." But we did get some interest on the financial side too. But it's, you know, really at least for us and with my my executive producer Frank Mateer, mm-hmm. who on Sleeping, we would just have him talk with whoever's calling in who's interested in investing, and we'll be doing the same thing for Center of the Sun and possibly some other things too. We're developing all kinds of different things.
So hey, send a letter out, send it out on Craigslist, and just get anyone. Right,
right.
Now, what about distribution? How do you approach that? After you do your film, what do you do?
As far as distribution, I haven't actually gone that far yet.
What did you do for Sleeping?
For Sleeping, it was a short film, and there's really no venue for that. But just there's some
other
coming
than
up.
Festivals, right?
Right, right. Yeah. It's just festivals, and hopefully use that to make the feature, which will hopefully then get distributed.
So basically, when you got out of film school, you decided to start writing stuff. You shot them yourself, got your own crew, mm-hmm. and then for distribution, I guess the distribution for you would be to submit to film festivals. That's
right.
One way you can do it. Anything else
Absolutely.
That they can do other than film festivals to get people to maybe possibly pick it up and then change it and turn it into a big blockbuster?
Right. Hey, you never know.
What do you
do
about that? How do you approach that? I mean, is that what your goal is? Because some people just want to do it for the art, and then some people do have their mind set on, you know,
mm-hmm.
moving up with the big film moguls. So
yes.
If that's the what route are you taking? Are you more independent with the hope, say, if it happens, it happens, but if not, I'm doing what I love?
It is, I guess I am more independent-minded, but looking for larger independent companies,
okay.
if you will. Not necessarily eyeballing any sort of large Hollywood studio mm-hmm. or anything like that. But with a short film, you know, you can send it to their like their acquisitions departments or whatever, you know, maybe mm-hmm. they'd be interested in turning it into a feature, or, you know, you send it to agents, you know,
mm-hmm.
then you just get work, you know,
right.
from that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but festivals are definitely the way to go. And there actually are a lot of different venues now for short films online and on the independent cable networks and everything.
Right. So when people always submit your film to film festivals. Sometimes there
yes.
are prizes. Sometimes there's cash prizes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that helps.
Definitely.
But if anything, your film is going to get out there, and if you're chosen, it'll be in a festival. And there are many different people that come to the festivals, producers, directors. I mean, tell us about all the people that come to that could possibly choose your film as the favorite.
Right. Yeah, there's usually a lot of, especially the smaller indie companies, or quote-unquote indie companies, some of them are larger than actual independent companies,
mm-hmm.
but they usually send, especially to the bigger festivals, they'll send out someone like a producer's rep or something like that to check out all the films.
Right.
And usually that more applies towards feature films.
Mm-hmm.
But even with short films, they'll go see it just to find new talent. You
right.
know, if they like the cinematography, they might be interested in finding the cinematographer, the director, or the writer, or whatever.
Right.
But they always have, they're always sending people out.
Yeah, so your film could be one of the ones. So
you never had a question. If an investor comes in with a lot of money, do they sometimes try to take over the direction of what you're doing?
Yes, they definitely do. Well, they can. I shouldn't say they do. They can.
Yeah.
How do you prevent that from happening?
I guess it comes down to, again, knowing the business side, you know, knowing what should be in the contract between you and that investor.
Right.
And for me, if it's an investor that I don't know, then it's definitely going to say you have no creative control or whatever. But, you know, if we start making money, you know, you're going to get all of it.
Right.
You know, like their only purpose should be to support us and the film, and then to get their money back. And
right.
Hopefully make a profit.
But and sometimes they turn into the director, right? They want to be a director and writer. And they think, hey, it's my money. If it wasn't for me. Oh, we have a caller, but we got 5 minutes, so we're going to make the call short. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air with Doug Conant.
Hello.
Hi. I just want to first of all say I saw Sleeping at the New Filmmakers Film Festival, and it was excellent.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I have a question. The music in Sleeping, it doesn't get in the way at all. It's just in the background. I was just wondering where you got your inspiration for that and your sound design. And do you think of the music before you film, or do you film and then think of the music? And how does that all work?
Ah, good question. No one asked about the music. That's awesome.
Sure. What's your name, caller?
My name is Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Okay, what was your answer to that?
I guess with the music being out of the way, that was... thanks for noticing that. And that was definitely an intention when we were doing the music, and even while I was writing the script. And actually the composer, George Dean, was the main screenwriter for this also. So he and I, while we're writing the thing, we're also talking about what the music's going to be like and everything. So that was definitely... an intention and a very delicate balance with a film like this to keep it out of the way, but still allow it to help the emotional, emotional thrust and all the different moments within the film, for sure.
Yeah, the drive of the film. The music, you know, it's amazing. Thank you, Eric. We appreciate your call.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Eric.
Love your show.
Thank you. I love you for loving my show.
We
got 5 minutes, and there's so many things we want to ask you. Doug, my God, I don't know how I'm going to fit it in. You are just like a wealth full of information. Okay, so let's talk about Sleeping. Where is that right now? Now that topic, what inspired you for that topic? I mean, usually, I don't know, that's a topic that's very, very, oh God, that's so important today. Mm-hmm. I mean, because rapes are happening at a rampant pace, and we really got to stop this. How is it that you came to write about this? What was your inspiration?
I guess that came when I was doing my thesis film in college.
Mm-hmm.
The girl I was with at the time, I wasn't seeing very much because I was always working on whatever my thesis project was, and I didn't know what I was going to do yet. And actually, during that period, she was going out a lot. She was hanging out with her friends more, and it was actually kind of nice. But
let me get some damn work done. Yeah, exactly. Go on out, girl.
It was great. It worked out perfect. But then, like, she'd be going to, you know, clubs in Hollywood or whatever. And, and then I would just, because I wasn't really around her as much as I had been, I just started thinking, you know, the horrible things that could happen to her, you know. And because I was also working on whatever my thesis film was going to be, the two things meshed. And I said, well, I've been thinking about rape and, you know, else enough. It was just a thought that it was not like I was worried about it, but it's something that happened to occur to me at the right moment. And I said, you know, this could be something that that I can make a nice little film about and hopefully take on a different angle. So that's what the inspiration was.
That is lovely. And I like how you got Rain involved. It's not like you did the film and then just didn't get anybody else involved. You got the two main agencies or organizations that can really take it to the next level and get it out there. And it's also, I don't know if they're going to use it, but I imagine sometimes they can actually take your film and make that as part of their...
They're doing that.
Oh, are they doing
that? They're using the short film for training and hopefully...
Right.
free
training.
To train some rape advocates.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And hopefully with the feature film, they'll be able to do the same thing and maybe show it around at colleges and things like that. They're already talking about stuff.
Center of the Sun. Mm-hmm. That, I want to know how that title is, how that title relates to the film, but we only have 1 minute, and I'm like, I know there's so many things. All right, we are going to beg you to come back after you do Center of the Sun next year and follow up and see how it went, and also keep me abreast of where it's going to be. And I'm going to send out like a mass email blast. I've got thousands of people on my email list, so I'm going to send it out all over the place.
Excellent.
So right now, Center of the Sun, you're working on.
Yes, ma'am.
When do you foresee that being completed?
It'll probably be about a year to completion.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That gives me time. All right.
So sounds like a science fiction.
I know. Center of the Sun.
It does, doesn't it?
I think he's putting sci-fi titles on all his films, and he doesn't even realize it, right?
You're probably right.
So if you want to, I'm telling you, his stuff is really good. Check it out on his website right now. He's got all his trailers on there. It's group-6six.com, and there's a little link that says trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you click on there and you can see any of his trailers. And if you want to give him some money or be an investor, he would accept it.
Sure.
Imagine that.
Sure. Why not? Why not?
But I think it would be a great investment because I really think that you're going to go far. I think that you're really making stuff that's important right now.
Thank you.
And I think when you check out his films, you're going to see what he is capable of and how he is making an impact and statement in today's world. You're contributing.
Thank you very much. I try to contribute as much as I can.
The higher powers and the gods that be feel that you are doing your duty. I think that's why you get all those lucky breaks that you do.
Yes, thank you.
Well,
maybe so.
We are heading towards Halloween, and therefore we will be running the Horror Channel ad, and you're about to hear that right now. Thank you guys so much for listening. Check Doug Conan out on, again, group-6.com, and if you want to be part of his film, send him an email. He's really nice, and I think he would call you back or email you. He's
absolutely
just super nice. Thank you, Doug, for being on the show.
Thank you, Priscilla.
And we'll see you next week on Question Reality.
The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. We are available on Verizon Fios Cable Television. Go to Channel 900, free on demand, and select Pop Culture. Scroll down and you'll find the Horror Channel. So be sure to visit horrorchannel.com for all of our latest programming.